our thoughts today. Let's just have a little prayer. Father, we ask that in this time that we will see Christ and that we would leave here leaping and jumping and rejoicing that we have met with him, in whose name we pray and for his glory. Amen. After the Apostle Paul, probably the greatest Bible teacher in the first 1,000 years of the Christian church, was a man from North Africa called Augustine. And when Augustine was teaching about the sacraments of baptism and the Lord's word, the Lord's Supper, he used a very interesting phrase to describe the two sacraments. He talked about them as visible words. As I am speaking to you now, you can hear my words, but you cannot see my words. They're not visible, they're invisible. So when Augustine called the waters of baptism and the meal of bread and wine visible words, what he was meaning was that through these elements, through these symbols, God is speaking. Through the waters of baptism, God is speaking of cleansing, of new life, of a new start to those who believe. And the Lord's Supper speaks to us, and it's the Lord's Supper particularly we're thinking about today. And I want to give you three things, three words, that the Lord's Supper is saying to you and to me as we come to this table and as we prepare ourselves for coming to this table, thinking about exactly what it means and that we do not come, therefore, in ignorance. The first visible word that is being spoken in this meal is the word revelation. That God is a God who doesn't hide, but God is a God who reveals himself. Verse 5, this is the message we have heard from him and declare to you, God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. It's John who makes three great affirmations in his gospel and also in his letters, that God is spirit, that God is love, and now God is light. God is light. And there's a paradox in this, because if God is light and if it's the very nature of God to shine, how come we can't see God? And the answer is because of our sin. We are blind to God. We cannot see him, but nevertheless, God has graciously made himself known in a number of ways. And he has left evidence, if you like, on earth, that you and I should follow the evidence. But ultimately, it is turning to him in faith that will open our eyes and that will help us to see the light and come to know him for ourselves. A major part of evidence is seeing God in creation. We look at our world, and scientists will be able to tell us about the laws of physics, the laws of biology, the laws of chemistry. That this world in which we live is an ordered world, it's a structured world, it's not a chaotic world in that sense. And if there are laws, then surely there must be a lawmaker. There must be an intelligence behind the intelligence that we have on earth. And Paul says in Romans chapter 1 that God's eternal power and divine nature are clearly seen in the natural world. And this is one of the ways in which the natural world speaks to us of the creator behind the creation. But God is also revealed in the Bible. An amazing collection. This is just not one book that we have here. This is an amazing collection of 66 books written by men, but each of them inspired by the Holy Spirit. David says, one of the Old Testament authors, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Isaiah speaks of a light for the Gentiles, meaning the Messiah. And John here says that God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. The Bible writers weren't writing out of a position of darkness. They were writing out of a place of light. And they were coming to write down these words because they had seen God. They had seen the work of God. And they've recorded it in these 66 books. But the clearest word of revelation of all is in the Lord Jesus Christ himself. The Word became flesh and dwelt his and made his dwelling among us. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. And so today, as we handle bread and wine, it's as if we touch the flesh and the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. For God became flesh. He didn't hide himself away somewhere up in heaven, but he has made himself known. Jesus was born of a virgin. He was laid in a manger. He grew up and he was nailed to a cross and he rose from a tomb. How thankful we should be that today we're not here on the basis of guesswork or probability, but we're here because God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. The hymn writer put it like this: I heard the voice of Jesus say, I am this dark world's light. Look unto me, thy morn shall rise, and all thy day be bright. I looked to Jesus, and I found in him my star, my sun. And in that light of life I walk till traveling days are done. So the nature of God is to reveal himself. He is a God of revelation. He has spoken in nature. He has spoken in scripture. But most of all, he has spoken in the Lord Jesus Christ. And today as we come to this table, it's really important we come today and we're saying, and by taking this meal, what we're saying is that God has spoken into my life. I have seen the light. I have seen the light. That's the only basis on which any man or woman can come to this table. Eating this bread and drinking this wine will not make you see the light. If you think that, you're coming in darkness. It is those who have seen Christ, those who have put their faith into Christ, those in whom Christ lives by the power of his Spirit, they're the ones who come saying today, God has revealed himself to me, and I love him with all my heart, with all my soul, with all my mind, and with all my strength. So this visible word today speaks of a God who doesn't hide, but a God who reveals himself, and a God who makes himself known. The second thing then this visible word speaks of is of fellowship. Fellowship with God and fellowship with fellow Christians. I'm sure like me, you've heard all the talk about the general election that's coming up in December. It seems suddenly that Christmas is on everybody's lips, a Christmas election. But elections aside, one of the best things about Christmas, I don't know about you, maybe I'm just getting old, but the best thing about Christmas is not the presents anymore, it's the people. It's the meeting up with people you haven't seen for a while. It's the times of fellowship around the table, catching up with people, friends and family, fellowshipping, communing, sharing in harmony one with another. Look what John says here in verse 6. If we claim to have fellowship with God, yet walk in darkness, we lie and do not live by the truth. Now John is asking people who believe that God is light, and who profess that they have seen the light and who claim to be in fellowship with God, does this show in your life? Does this show in your life? Are you walking in the light? For if you're still in darkness, is that not a sign you're kidding yourself? I was searching this week for a book online, and I put the name of the author into the search engine, and I was shocked by what came up. Yes, his book came up, but also a selection of books with someone of a very similar name, pornographic books, with pictures on the front of those books that I would rather not have seen, and themes that I had never considered in my life on the front of those books and so on. And I was thinking about how easy it is nowadays that we can just suddenly be just brought into a place of darkness. And if I had dwelt upon those things, and if I had ordered those books, and if I was reading those books secretly, you would say, and it would be true for me to say, I don't have any right to sit here today because I'm living in darkness. I'm coming with unconfessed sin in my life. I don't have fellowship with God if I'm allowing myself sin like that. For someone else, it might be some other sin. We were thinking on Wednesday about sins of omission. Not caring for people, not reaching out to the needy, not addressing needs, visiting the lonely and looking after the sick and visiting prisoners, whatever it may be you've been called to do, there are different sins. But the challenge of coming to this table is that we come today confessing our sins, and if we claim to be without sin, says verse 8, we're deceiving ourselves, the truth is not in us, we're just liars. It's the word he actually uses, verse 6. We lie and do not live by the truth. Similarly, if there's a person I've maybe fallen out with and I haven't tried to make it up to them, well, he talks about fellowship in verse 7 with one another. Again, it's a sign of being in the dark, is it not? That we have maybe fallen out with somebody and we're not making it up with them. If I never forgive and forget, if I never mend fences or build bridges or whatever metaphor you use, then I really can't sit in truth at this table and say I've got fellowship with God and fellowship with the people of God. I maybe need to leave my gift at the altar, as Jesus said, and go and make amends or go and make peace with someone. And then come and sit at this table. You see, the basis of this table is truth. Truth. We don't come lying to ourselves or lying to the people around us. We come truthfully, honestly, sincerely, genuinely. We come to fellowship with God, to fellowship with our fellow Christians. And if we come with darkness, if we come with ignorance, if we come with sinfulness, and yet we claim that God has said over our lives, let there be light, we're just lying. That's the challenge here, what John says, verse 6. If we claim to have fellowship with him, yet walk in darkness, we lie and do not live by the truth. So this meal, these elements, they're speaking to us today. They're speaking to us of the revelation of God, of the fellowship of God. But thirdly, they're speaking to us of the cost of it all. What's the cost of this meal? Someone I know was telling me lately they were at an event in a hotel in Belfast, and flyers were advertising the Christmas dinner on Christmas Day. How much? £99. Per person for Christmas dinner and Christmas Day in that particular hotel. That's an expensive meal. I wouldn't want to be paying the bill. Well, friends, no matter how much money you and I may pay for a meal, it is nothing in comparison to the infinite cost of this meal. Because notice verse 7, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us from all sin. This meal cost the blood of Jesus Christ. I don't know if you've ever given blood or not, but it's amazing when the nurse puts the needle into your arm to see the blood begin to flow. You didn't hardly know it was there, and then suddenly there's blood in the wee vial. And that blood feeds your body, it aerates your body, it lubricates your body, it fights infections, and probably 101 other things that I don't know anything about. But one thing your blood or my blood cannot do is atone for your sin. Your blood can't do that. My blood can't do that. Paul said in 1 Corinthians, if I surrender my body to the flames, but have not love, I gain nothing. In other words, you can be a martyr. You can pour out your life in some cause and be a martyr for that cause. But if you don't love God and love Jesus Christ, you're just wasting your blood. You've wasted your life. And such is the helpless and the hopeless plight of human beings left to their own devices. We are destined to die in our sin. Sin is like a cancer that we cannot escape from. It's a terminal disease. But then there is the good news. You see, today we don't come with the understanding, oh, I could do a wee sin here and I do a wee sin there, and sure, God will forgive me for that wee sin, won't he? No. We must confess that sin, but we must also realize that we, in our natures, are sinful. We are born sinful. A leopard cannot change its spots. And similarly, a human being by themselves cannot change their sinful nature. But God. And that's what John is saying here. He says that we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his Son, God's Son, purifies us from all sin. Here is what God has done in paying the price for entry to the great banquet, not Christmas dinner, but the banquet of God's people sitting down in the messianic banquet that we're told about in heaven, where we sit down with the Savior of the world, the light of the world, the atoning sacrifice for our sin, and we throw ourselves down before him, lost in wonder, love, and praise. And this meal is a foretaste of that meal to come. And if we come today in faith, trusting Christ and in Christ alone, then we're ready. Then we're prepared. Then we can sit here with confidence and with boldness, with assurance that our fellowship, says verse 3, is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And John says, we write this to make your joy complete. This is a joyous meal. So as we come today to the table, let us come humbly and yet also come boldly. We come humbly because we know our sin. You know you're a sinner and I know I'm a sinner. You know your failures and I know my failures. But just as a man may be a very inadequate musician and yet he loves music, we may today feel to be very inadequate Christians, but if we love Christ, then we can come humbly to this table. But we can come boldly too, for the blood of Jesus, his Son, purifies us from all sin. We don't come in our own merits. We don't come saying, Lord, look at all the good things I do. Aren't I a good person? Don't I help people? Aren't I a good to my neighbor? We don't come in any sense with those good things, holding them out as if they can earn God's salvation. It is the blood of Jesus, his Son, that purifies us from all sin. All sin. How precious is that little word, all sin. Not some sins, not partial sins, not half your sins, not 90% of your sins, all sins. Both now and for as long as you live, there is the ongoing purification of the blood of Jesus Christ for his people. And so we sing today as we come. We sing as pardoned sinners. And we come humbly and boldly, King of Kings, Majesty, God of Heaven, living in me, gentle Savior, closest friend, strong deliverer, beginning and end, your Majesty, I can but bow. I lay my all before you now. In royal robes I don't deserve, I live to serve your Majesty. Your Majesty. And that is what we do today. We sit at the King's table to fellowship with the King of Kings, with the Lord of Lords, because of all that he has done. It's all about the Lord today, fellowshipping with him, and we fellowship with his people, and we enjoy his presence at this table. Let's sing that hymn as we come to the communion part of our service. King of Kings, Majesty.